This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines.
Today, after almost a century of trying, today, after over a year of debate, today, after all the votes have been tallied, health insurance reform becomes law in the United States of America.
A major Democratic Party celebration at the White House on Tuesday morning as President Obama signed into law the long-debated health care reform legislation sponsored by congressional Democrats. Not one Republican in the House or Senate voted for this particular piece of legislation. But the Senate still has some work to do, an issue that the president mentioned in his comments on Tuesday, in which the assembled House Democrats definitely encouraged as well.
And while the Senate still has the last round of improvements to make on this historic legislation, and these are improvements I'm confident they will make swiftly.
The president says it will take as long as 4 years to implement certain parts of this package because he says he wants to do this responsibly, but he did list a few different provisions that will take effect this year, including banning insurance companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions, being dropped from your coverage when you get sick, and there will no longer be a limit on the amount of coverage that the insurance companies will be expected to provide. The president also listed a couple more things.
They won't be able to place lifetime limits or restrictive annual limits on the amount of care they can receive. This year, all new insurance plans will be required to offer free preventive care. And this year, young adults will be able to stay on their parents' policies until they're 26 years old. That happens this year.
Up on Capitol Hill, Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell says the president forgot to mention a couple things.
Where the fact that it cuts Medicare $500 billion, raises taxes by $500 billion, and in all likelihood will drive the cost of insurance up. I expect he did not mention those provisions as he was signing the bill, but those are in fact the core of the bill.
Now, of course, as mentioned, the Senate will take up the proposed changes to the bill, which McConnell says will make those two provisions, the taxes and the Medicare cuts, even worse.
I think as we go forward here in the Senate this week on the fix-it bill, the reconciliation bill, as Senator Gregg can tell you, the Medicare cuts have been increased, the taxes have been increased, and the special deals are still throughout the bill.
Senator Gregg is Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire, the top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee. He says this is just another massive step towards the nationalization of our economy.
Well, I think it should be noted that this bill that we're dealing with, the reconciliation bill, is the fourth major step forward in the push to drive this country down a road towards a European-styled government. Started off by essentially quasi-nationalization of the financial system, nationalization of the automobiles, quasi-nationalization of the health industry, and now this bill has in it, which nobody's focused on, the nationalization of the student loan industry.
And while the Senate will take up the fixes, and given the reconciliation procedure, which only requires a simple majority, will probably pass it without too much opposition. The only thing that may slow it down is the possibility of unlimited Republican amendments, most of which, if not all, will be shot down in order to avoid sending the legislation back to the House. But Republicans vowing to fight on. That includes the number three House Republican, Mike Pence of Indiana.
This fight is not over. And House Republicans are determined to take our case against this government takeover of health care to the floor of the Congress and to the American people.
Speaking on MSNBC following the signing ceremony today, Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso told MSNBC's Chris Matthews that when the American people understand what this bill will do to their bottom line, they will hate it.
What they're going to see is that their own health care premiums as a result of the president signing this are going to go up, and their own taxes are going to go up, and the quality of their care, Chris, is going to go down. And that's the concern, and that's why by 2-1, people strongly oppose what's been passed and now signed into law, as opposed to those who favor the proposal.
There's also a repeal effort underway up on Capitol Hill on a number of fronts. I spoke with Iowa Congressman Steve King earlier today, and to hear that conversation about the repeal effort, as well as why the executive order protecting Americans against taxpayer-funded abortion is toothless, head to dateline.radioamerica.org or worldnetdaily.com. While there, you can also hear my interview with Christy Herrera of the American Legislative Exchange Council. They are leading the charge state by state across the country to have the state legislatures pass bills that will protect residents from having to comply with the individual mandate portion in the health care bill that forces adults to purchase health care coverage that is approved by the federal government. Again, worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. That effort is now underway in 39 states, with two states already approving such legislation. But immediately following the president's signing of the bill on Tuesday, the attorneys general for 13 states filing suit on that very same provision, saying that the individual mandate is unconstitutional, that you can't force people to buy something from the federal level. Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning also appearing on MSNBC today. He says that if this is forced upon the states, then they are going to be seeing some serious red ink.
There are some, of course, who need a safety net, but what this bill has done is expand that safety net so broadly that you're going to have people dropping the coverage they now have to go on the Medicaid rolls because the government plan, the government paid plan, is better. And that's just the states, we can't afford it, Chris. We're at a point right now where we're in dire straits the way it is. And for the federal government to ask us to take on this burden is very, very difficult.
On to other news now, and late in the afternoon, President Obama was meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House in a meeting that will not permit any still photography or video for whatever reason. We'll talk about that among other issues. If you head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. Meanwhile, one of the big issues, at least from the U.S. perspective, is the situation involving Israeli settlements, plans to build about 1,600 apartments in East Jerusalem. At this week's AIPAC conference, that's an organization that lobbies on behalf of Israel, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying that Israel defying the U.S. a call for a freeze on new settlements hurts the peace process.
It undermines America's unique ability to play a role, an essential role, in the peace process.
But Netanyahu told the same organization that it's not a settlement. They're simply building in their own capital city.
The Jewish people were building Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, and the Jewish people are building Jerusalem today. Jerusalem is not a settlement. It's our capital.
Also speaking out on this today, also on MSNBC, was Lawrence Eagleburger, former Secretary of State for President Bush number 41. He says it's been obvious since day one and even before that the Obama administration has an antagonistic position towards Israel.
This administration has this totally antagonistic view toward Israel to begin with. They had that attitude before they ever came into office during the campaign. You could see it. They have done nothing since they came into office except beat up on Israel.
That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.